Please be seated. I have the privilege this morning to introduce to you a dear friend of mine, Aaron Tang. I've known Aaron for a lot of years now, and he's now the executive director of CCACA, an executive committee that sits over the Chinese Alliance churches across this country of Canada from shore to shore. Aaron comes to us all the way from Toronto, and he's at the national office in Toronto, and it's a great privilege to have him speaking to us this morning on the three essentials. And so, Aaron, would you please come?
Well, great to be here, and I feel very excited and energized. When I came to this building, I see the new extension. I see God is working in this church. I think not just the building, but also more importantly, the people. Thanks, Larry, for the introductions. I know Larry for many years. When I serve in Ottawa, I have my church, three congregations. At the time, we want to find a replacement for our English pastor. I tried to recruit Larry. End up, he came to Westwood. So I have no complaint. How can you compare Ottawa with Vancouver? You know, I think when I retire, we'll come here too. Well, it's really wonderful this morning to be with you guys. Actually, I hope I'm not overdressed because I spoke in a Mandarin service earlier and I have speak to the Cantonese later after the service. But it's wonderful to know more about our member church. We have about 90 Chinese Alliance churches across Canada. And so bring greetings to you from other churches in Canada. We also have a network. We have the association in the U.S. They have about 70-some churches. And we have the alliance in Hong Kong, about 100-some churches there. And we also have alliance CNMA Chinese Church in Taiwan, in Australia, and even in Europe. So we're kind of forming a network. It's not for us, but rather we see God's grace and work within China and also in the diaspora. So we really want to join hands together and how we can serve better so that to reach out, not just for Chinese, but also through Chinese to all nations. Because when I look at you guys, you're not Chinese church. There's people of all kinds, of different background, cultural background. I really like it. Because I believe one day in heaven, we'll be the same. We'll be the same. So I don't have a lot of time. Larry told me I have to finish by a quarter after 11. So I have about 10 minutes. What can I say? I don't even know. Yeah, whatever. We talk about missional church. Okay, let's say, what's a missional church? I think we, from Wikipedia, everything online nowadays. What is missional church? Two very important things. One, the church has to be faithful to the Great Commissions. So we are sending church. We're not just stay here for our own good, but rather we are being saved and to be sent, to be his witness, not just in the community, but also to the end of the world. But one new term coming up is missional living. It's a little bit different. In the old times, we think missionary are those who are being sent to Africa, to China, to the Middle East. They are career missionary. And then we are at the back in the church. We just support them. We just support them with our finance, we support them with a prayer. And then go in peace, and then we support you. That is the old model. Today we are talking about missional living. Actually, each one of us, we are also missionary. Though we are not career missionary, but we are being sent. We're being sent to the school, we're being sent to the community, we're being sent to our workplace. Even we are being sent to our home to be his witness. The point is, are you ready? Am I a missionary? What kind of life should a missionary be? That's the next one. Talk about missional living. Is that in Christianity, missional living is adoption of posture, thinking, behavior, and practice of missionary in order to engage others with the gospel message. So even though we are not career missionary, but we have been saved and been sent to different places to be his witness through our thinking, behavior, practice in our daily life. So it's in this concept we talk about missional church. Let's look at the picture here. Next one. We're being sent. The church is being sent. We're sent by Christ. We're sent with the cross. We're sent in the community in every culture for the king and his kingdom. The picture, next one. Basically, missionary is something like that. Every believer notices that. Not just the career missionary. Not just a few being called or chosen. But rather, every one of us. If we want, like Westwood, to be truly a missional church, I think one key thing is we all have that kind of missional mentality or missional living. How can our life be changed? We're talking about empowerment and transformation. That's your theme, right? The church theme. How can our life be empowered? How can our life be transformed so that in our day-to-day living, at school, at marketplace, the community became his witness? That's what we are talking about this morning. Let's look at the scripture. Next one. Philippians chapter 1. So just go through it quickly. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or not, or hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Go on later. Let me ask some questions. Who found the church of Philippi? Who built it? Paul, yeah. Built this church, and he really liked this church because from day one, this church has been very supportive of Paul's missions by finance, by prayer, even physically sending people to help Paul. So Paul really liked this church. But about 10 years later, Paul wrote this letter. And strangely, the highlight red one, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence. So Paul said, I may be able to come, but I may not. Why Paul say something like that? Because Paul was where at that time? Yeah, was in Rome, but he's not taking a cruise. It was a Rome in jail because of the gospel. So he don't have that kind of flexibility or freedom. He's uncertain about his future. He may be released. If he's released, definitely he would go back to the church that he loved so much, Church of Philippi, and then work together for the gospel. But if he's not being released, being persecuted, even die, then he still wants this church, the one he found, loved so much, to pick up the baton to continue to spread the gospel. So it's in this context, in this background, we talk about missional church. Today we are living in a different world. It's changing so fast. The old time, the old paradigm, we have church at the base, and then we send missionary and go. Nowadays, we cannot do it like that. Everyone has to be a missionary. We are all being sent. We have to have that kind of mentality and urgency so that we can make a difference in this place, even to the end of the world. So let's learn from Paul. How can we be missional church, how can we have that kind of missional living? So I bring up 3 points, usually 3-point sermons, okay? And at the same time, I talk about the a growth indicator of a disciple. How can we tell we are disciple? How can we tell we are growing in Christ? So this hand-in-hand is a corresponding to think about what's the problem, what we have to have conditions so that we can be missional church. At the same time, how can we grow in Christ, being a disciple, being having a missional living? So let's look at 27, the first part. Whatever happened, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Here, conduct yourself is in the original Greek is what the English term political comes from. So basically, Paul said, if we want to be a missional church, we want to live our missional living. The first thing, very important, is authenticity. We have to walk the walk and talk the talk. We have to live our life that is worthy of the gospel. We cannot be just role-playing. We cannot be do something at church, everything looks so gentleman, so kind, so loving, and then once we go out of the building, we're just totally different people. So sometimes we say Christians, they're some kind of Christian ninja. Do you know what ninja is? It's the Japanese ninja. You don't know? Turtle. Okay. The ninjas, sometimes they show up, oh, I'm a ninja. I'm a fighter. But sometimes, whoops, disappear. You know, Christian, something like that. In the workplace, in the marketplace, whoops, suddenly, oh, you're a Christian. I didn't know that. And then sometimes, oh, you're Christians because you live in, you're in church. But at your work marketplace, in your office, in the community, sometimes nobody knows we are Christians. So it kind of, we do something at church differently from outside. And that's why it's really hard to spread the gospel. You know, sometimes people accuse Christians and they say, you guys are hypocrites. You know what hypocrites mean? It's just role play. You're just role playing. You're pretending. You're not real. Because what we are saying is somehow different from what we are doing. Do you realize it? It happened all the time. But I can say honestly, I know I've been church for many years, I know a lot of people. I think not all, at least 90%, they are not hypocrites. But somehow, what we do is different from what we say. So let's look at the picture here. I want to bring out a growth indicator for Christians to be a follower of Christ, to be a disciple. I say there's knowing, being, and doing. We have to see how we're doing all three of these elements. Knowing God. So knowing God is not just by knowledge. You know, once you've been in church for a couple of years, joining service, listen to Pastor Larry's sermons, you go to Sunday school, you go to Bible study, for sure 1 or 2 years learn a lot of stuff. You know Old Testament, you know New Testament, you can quote Bible. But doesn't mean you know God. Because you know it here. You listen to the sermon, doesn't mean that affecting your decisions to how you live out your life. So I think the key here is obedience. So in a small thing, if you listen to what the Bible said, okay, I take a step of faith. I follow it. Sometimes it's not easy, right? What the Bible teach. You know, talking about the beatitude, talking about, you know, Matthew 5-7, you know, a lot of teaching, wow, it's really hard saying. It's not easy to do. But if you take an act of faith, a baby step, you do it, and you learn, ooh, yeah, it really works. God is with me. And then we go on another step. So that's by obedience, trust, and obey that we continue to grow in Christ. So that what we say and what we do, we become more and more coincide. More or less the same. But if we just stop and listening and then not doing things accordingly, you are separate yourself. You're segregated. I find a lot of Christians, we have a frame or a box. The box is our comfort zone. The box is our rationality, reasoning. Anything within our box is okay. I do it because I feel comfortable to do it. It's within my boundary. But what about things happen beyond that? Is it no way? Let me ask you, what instant reflects the height of Abraham's faith? What incident? What? Yeah, we say Abraham is a father of faith, right? What incident tell us most about his faith? Father of Isaac, right? Anyone's name is Isaac? I tell you, my oldest boy is Isaac's name. I dedicate him to God already. But I ask you, if you are Abraham, put yourself into his shoes, will you do it? Honestly, would you do it? It's not easy. But if Abraham is not following, he's not obeying, he would not know that God provides, Jehovah Jireh. That's all about our faith. We're just not to talk, but we have to walk. It's only by obedience we begin to experience God. Oh, God is truly almighty, all-knowing. He's everywhere. He's in my presence. He helped me go through this journey. Just yesterday, we have a church dedication in Chile. That's why I come. not only because of preaching at you guys, but also there's a church dedications in Geneva. There's all kinds of testimonies. No way they can have that church. But God is incredible. You know, within 1 month, they raised 150 grand as a down payment. They have only a handful of people, about 50. To buy a church that costs about 600 grand. They raised 150 within a month. Actually, when they sign the paper, they have 200 grand as down payment. Put yourself in those members, how excited they will be. Not just because they have a new meeting that they can call home, but more importantly, they experience God's provision personally. Right? Okay, second one. Oops, 15 already. What's the second part? Then when I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Striving together is the word, the English term, athletic, come from. So what Paul encouraged the church of Philippi, if I'm not able to come again, you guys pick up the baton. First, you have to live an authentic life. To be a missional church, walk the walk, talk the talk. Your life being transformed inside out, you live a life consistently, whether in church or outside of the church. And secondly, you have to be very fervent, enthusiastic, commit yourself into the gospel to be faithful. Now, as I said, this church from day one has been very faithful already. How come 10 years later, Paul still write them to encourage them? Because this is the highest mandate of the church. You know, I read a book from Bill Hall. The book's name is Disciple Making Pastor. Bill Hall lamented about the evangelical churches. He said, we worship the Great Commission. We said, wow, that's very important. We worship it, but we're not obeying it. But he just not to stop there. He continues to say something like that. We try to evangelize the whole world. They're saying that we are not lazy, we're not doing anything. We try to evangelize the whole world, but not doing disciple making. If you look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, there's only one imperative, that is disciple making. But today, a lot of churches, we do a lot of things, but not disciple making. We try to evangelize the whole world, but not using the method that Christ asked us to follow. What we do it like a business. You know, when I studied in region, I came to Canada in 86. I studied region in 86 to 89. My classmates told me, you didn't look like a seminarian. You didn't look like a Bible student, school student. You look like a businessman. And then when I graduated, I served in Vancouver for a few years. And then some of the other church co-workers look at me. It doesn't look like a pastor. You look like a businessman. And then a few years ago when I traveled back to China, the guy, the tourist guy, he said, you must be in the business of finance or restaurant. I don't know. I'm a pastor. But somehow people look at me like a businessman, maybe in my blood. But you know what? I run my church just like a business in Ottawa. That's why Larry doesn't come. Didn't want to come. You know, consciously and unconsciously, I just really like a business. I find it so easy to grow a church. What's the big deal? If you have good program, if you have good building, if you have good pastor who can preach, you have all kinds of program, people will come. So when I was first in Ottawa, I'm the solo pastor. And the second pastor I hired, because the city we live in is Kanata. It's a very family-oriented city. I reach out to family. The way I do it, I know family very focused on the need of children. So we have babysitting, we have children program. So the first pastor I hire is children ministry director. The second one I hire is youth pastor. So if I have good children program, if I have good teenagers program, I know the family will come. And that's why I grow my children. I see number growing, but I don't see life transform. That was my bad. I repent. I say, I'm going wrong. It's not the right way to raise a church. So the second one, next picture, talk about doing. We have to know what's the gift God has given you, and how would you respond to the calling? God has a unique calling for each one of us. Are we going towards the directions, towards that call, to be faithful to that call? That's very important. The old model, the church, we are more or less very much affected by the church growth movement in the 70s. We think numbers is everything. Bigger, the better. So we use a retaining model to measure the health of the church. If the church can continue to grow, retaining power. Basically, you open the door, front door, and close the back door. So people come and don't go. They stay there. Then you're good. So retaining power. So that's why we provide all kinds of programs, from babies to senior, from non-believers to believers. It just provides everything. So that's why some people say the church today is just like a Costco. Because when you go there, you have everything. You just join a membership. We have a new members this morning. Welcome. That's the way to grow church. So we provide all kinds of programs, activity, so that I care for you, I love you, stay. That's the old model. But as I said, I see people growing, number growing, doesn't mean life transform. Even Bill Hybel, Wake Robin's Church, I've been there a couple of times. He repent. He said, we have not developed people to become self-feeder, someone who can grow by himself or herself. So the new model is what? It's different. It's not retaining model, but rather now it's releasing power. How can we release our members so that they can be light and salt in this community? That's here, doing part. Have the church helped you to develop or find out, discover what kinds of gifts you have? Have the church empower you so that you can use your gift for God's glory? Not necessarily within the church, perhaps in the community, perhaps in the marketplace, perhaps overseas, but doesn't matter. The point is, the church is a place that we can gather together, we can encounter God in a worship, but at the same time, we are being empowered so that we can be sent out to the community. So Paul talked about that. The last part, time-wise, I think I have to close it. In the 28th and 29th, 30th, talk about suffering. It's not easy to grow a church. It's not easy to grow in Christ, to be a devoted disciple. It's a narrow road. Don't pick it like a blue sky. You know, everything goes smooth. No. Just like Paul, he was in jail at that time. So church began to face persecution. Just like our Lord, he's now on the right side of God. But before that, he bear his cross, go to the cross, crucify. Is suffering, Lord? Suffering, Paul. How can we be exempt from that? So it's not easy. But don't worry. In Romans 5, Paul said, not only that, we rejoice in times of suffering. Why? Why will we enjoy some suffering? Because Paul said, suffering produces what? Perseverance, and perseverance, character. And character, hope. How can we have the character? The last picture, talk about being part. How can we be like Christ? Not just doing part, the ministry part, but how can we be like Christ in our character? Sometimes through suffering. Suffering is the key. You know, to wrap up, I share this morning with a Mandarin. I have 4 boys. When we came to Canada, our oldest is only 2 years old. The second, third, and fourth, they all born in Vancouver at Grace Hospital. So in 1994, we relocated to Ottawa. So the kids basically raised in Ottawa. So Isaac was at grade 5 at the time. And then later on when he went to university, there are two universities in Ottawa. One is Ottawa U, another is Carleton. But his first choice to leave us. So when he tried to apply for university, he didn't feel it Ottawa U or Carleton. He wanted to leave us. End up, he studied in Kingston, in Queens. And then the second one, Joshua, came to study at university. He picked Waterloo. It's going farther and farther away. You know, Kingston is only 2 hours. Waterloo is 6 hours. Okay? And when the third Samuel and the last Amos studied at university, they picked the local university in Ottawa. The first two was born in the 80s, and then the last two is in the 90s. And tell you, they're totally different. Isaac and Joshua are much more independent. They are living away from us. Isaac got married last year. And they take care of themselves, no problem. But the third and the last, Samuel and Amos, still stay with us like a baby. Sometimes that's our parents' responsibility. I should have pushed them out. You know, is that, you don't want to face difficulty. It's still stuck with us. Spiritually, the same thing. Do you want to be a spiritual baby forever? Or you want to grow up? To be Christ's disciple. To live a missional life. To be his witness. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. Even time is short, but we feel your presence here. You're speaking to us. You want us to grow deep in you, to be empowered, to be transformed, no longer like a spiritual baby. Father, bless this church, not just to give us a good hardware, a bigger building, but bless this church by blessing the people here. Let us grow in Christ, be born like him, to be mature, and most of all, be sent to the community, even to the end of the world, for your glory. Amen.
Test, 1, 2, 3. Let's stand together, receive the Lord's benediction upon our hearts this morning. This benediction comes from Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says there, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins and rescued us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen." Please be seated. After silent prayer, be dismissed, and may God use you mightily as you be salt and light in our dark world. Amen.